May the Lord help us to commence our worship this morning with hymn number 1129, 1129. Jesus, we come to meet with Thee, our Lord and King, to bow before Thy feet and hear Thy praises sing. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away. Hymn 1129.
Yeah. From the Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, we'll read from the beginning to the end of verse 45. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee, in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zacharias and marvelled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Leave the reading of the word of God there. And may he bless it to us and help us now in prayer. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we gather ourselves here this morning around thy holy word. We do thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to meet together. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us in the services of thy house this day. Lord, we pray thy presence, we seek thy blessing. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt be merciful to us and grant us the help that we need. For, Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Nothing that is of any profit, nothing that is any good to our souls. Lord, we're in and of ourselves quite capable of sinning and grieving thee. But Lord, we confess that in our flesh, by nature, there dwelleth no good thing. And Lord, we need thy gracious help. We need thee, Lord, to put a spirit of real worship within our hearts. We need thee, Lord, to send thy Spirit in our midst, that he may take of the things of Jesus and apply them and reveal them to us. We need thee, Lord, to grant the power of thy Spirit upon the reading and the preaching of thy word. We need thee, Lord, to give us a receptive heart, a heart made soft, a heart softened by thee, one that receives thy word. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be all and do all that we stand in need of this day. We pray and thank thee for the many mercies that have been shown to us. Lord, we thank thee for lengthening out our days, for granting us this opportunity to gather this Lord's Day morning. We thank thee for this returning day of rest, and we thank thee that we are found gathered among thy people. And we thank thee, Lord, that we have the liberty to meet together, and we are not hindered. We are not prevented, even though we live in a dark and evil day. Yet, Lord, thy mercy has restrained the forces of evil in our land. And, Lord, thou hast granted to us this opportunity to meet, not fearing our lives, meeting free from persecution. Lord, we pray that as we meet together, we may see the blessing that it is. Lord, we pray that we may be made aware of the privilege it is to be given, to be afforded this opportunity. Lord, there are many in other parts of the world who are not able to meet in such a way. They fear their lives. They have no place of worship. There are those, Lord, that have no like-minded friends or family. There are those ones and twos. And we do pray, Lord, for them. We would remember thy persecuted church, scattered throughout the earth. We would remember those in hardship and in suffering. We would remember those in our prayers who, for the truth's sake, are suffering even unto death. We do pray, Lord, that thou would, in a special way, draw near and comfort their hearts and grant them that grace and that strength sufficient for the path they have to walk. Lord, we do pray for us as we gather here. For though, Lord, we are not prevented by outward circumstances, yet, Lord, we know the workings of the devil and how he would hinder us in our worship, how he would seek to snatch and steal the word away, how he would distract us with anything, how he would have us leave empty, have us sit through the worship this day unmoved and untouched. We do pray that thou wilt arise for our help, that thou wilt quieten the busyness of our minds, the multitude of our thoughts, that thou wilt draw near and comfort our souls, that thou wilt, Lord, take thy word and use it this day for the good of never dying souls, that we may hear to the profit of our soul. Lord, it might prove to be one of thy appointments that we are gathered here today. We ask, Lord, that thou glorify thyself, that thy name might be honoured and glorified as we meet together. We would worship thee. Lord, we pray that thou would help us to lay on the altar those things that would come between. Thou would separate us from our idols. Lord, that there may be those things removed that would come between, that would hinder us in our worship. Lord, we pray for a spirit of confession of sin. For Lord, is it not that which is the root cause of all our felt darkness and separation? For the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Yet, Lord, thy word declares, but your sins have separated between you and your God. Lord, how it is. And we do pray that thou wilt take those sins out of the way, that thou wilt, Lord, come right where we are, that thou wilt place thyself between us and our sin, that we may see no man save Jesus only. Lord, be with those who have come, and their desire is, sir, we would see Jesus, who come like the Greeks of old, and it is nothing less can meet their need. nothing less than Jesus Christ and Him crucified can satisfy the longing of their heart. We pray, Lord, that those longing, burdened, tempted ones might find Thy mercy. Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. We pray for, Lord, those who are burdened with the many burdens and cares that there are. Those, Lord, that are carrying afflictions. Those, Lord, that may be unable to be here through affliction. Those, Lord, that have the burden of loved ones who have afflictions. Lord, that those that have matters in their lives, maybe mountains in the way, crooked things, rough places. Lord, that those many things that there are. Lord, each heart knows its own bitterness. And we do pray, Lord, that as only Thou canst, Thou wilt meet with them in the way, that Thou wilt take them by the hand and lead them and guide and direct them and make all Thy mountains away. And Lord, we do pray that in these things where we may find that necessity to cast all our care upon Thee. Lord, do bring us to that place of falling at Thy feet. Bring us to lay our burdens there. Bring us by necessity to cry for Thy help. Lord, do encourage such to come. For Thou hast said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and Thou shalt glorify me. We do pray then that Thou wilt glorify Thyself in our lives. Lord, that we may glorify Thee, that we may be a living witness in this dying world of Thy grace and of Thy mercy. Blot out every sin. Lord, we are great sinners. Great is that list of sin, and greater will it be until that day when we are called to stand before Thee. We do pray that Thou grant us each that good hope through grace, that all our sins were put away in the sufferings, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do, Lord, then remember us each for good. Do help us in our worship. Lord, do forgive all that is amiss in our worship. Few poor sinners gather to worship a great and holy and almighty God. Lord, our poor attempts are polluted with sin. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt look upon us through Thy Son, that we may be accepted in the Beloved, our worship may be made right through Him, that He may, by His merits, His person and work, obtain for us those things that we need, and that through Him Thy blessing might flow down to us through that channel, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do hear us in all our need. Lord, do grant us the gift of true living faith, that though we ask great and impossible things for us, yet as we read, there is nothing impossible with thee. Do remember us then, we pray. Pardon all our sin. Forgive all that is amiss. As we ask, Lord Jesus, these things in thy name. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 70. Thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast, my Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Hymn number 70.
will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the opening part of verse 32. So the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, the opening part of verse 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and the opening part of verse 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The whole verse reads, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And it's that opening part. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Thinking of that hymn that we've just sung, I couldn't help but think of Mary. My fearful heart, he reads, secures my soul from harms, while underneath his mercy spreads its everlasting arms. His skill infallible, his providential grace, his power and truth that never fail, shall order all my ways. What an enormous thing had come upon dear Mary. This visit by the angel Gabriel changed her life. The implications of it, the enormity, and yet what grace was given. We read her response. She said, behold, in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The handmaid of the Lord, made willing to submit, made willing to humble herself under the mighty hand of God, made willing, no doubt, to suffer, made willing to endure. Be it unto me according to thy word. Not my will, but thine be done. And friends, what a mercy when the Lord gives that grace of submission. You know, it doesn't lie within us by nature not to submit to the Lord. Oh, it may lie within us to submit to other things, but you and I by nature will not have that man to reign over us. This must be given. The grace, the faith, the love, the spirit of obedience must be given. And it was to Mary. Well, what a path she had to walk. She had many things to endure. But you know, she did ponder many things in her heart, didn't she? And she did, at times, have many things to think on. As she watched on and saw the Lord Jesus grow from that babe delivered in Bethlehem that night to that man who went about doing good. Many things she saw, she witnessed. And then we think of that solemn day at Calvary. Well, the sermon this morning isn't about Mary. But in passing, we can't help but think upon her. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And so she had, that the Lord had highly favoured her. She's set apart, in one sense, from all the rest of the women of mankind, to be the one to bear and carry this dear babe. You know, we are not like the Catholics, who would exalt Mary to a position where she should not be. We would not disregard her in a reaction to their error. May the Lord bless us with some measure of that same faith, that same spirit of submission, and that same love which made her willing. Truly, you could say the love of Christ constraineth. Well, we come to our text. He shall be great. And you know, this is a prophecy, isn't it? You know, how many people have stood maybe at a cot or held a baby in their arms, and they've wondered. Maybe you have. You've wondered, what will those eyes live to see? What will those hands live to do? You wonder what it will be that they will live to see, live to do. You wonder what they will experience in the course of their lives. You wonder maybe how long or how short that life may be. Well, here the angel tells Mary, there's a prophecy given. He shall be great. Now, some have looked on babies, young children, and they've not known at the time. They're maybe looking at one who would become an eminent minister. They're looking on a babe that one day would do great things, a great witness to the Lord. They've looked on one, and maybe it would be one of those that the Lord would use. And you think of the Great Reformation and how those grew up, and they would live to be mightily used of the Lord. Well, here Mary is told, he shall be great. Now, we know that the doctrine, the truth of the matter was, he was great. The eternal Son of God. But he shall be great. And you think of his person. he shall be great. Oh, this person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he shall be great. And you think then of his work. His person and his work. He shall be great. Our text goes on to say he shall be called and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And this is a beautiful consideration for us this morning when we think of his person, the Son of the Highest. When the Lord Jesus was doing those wondrous things, there were those, didn't they? They said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" They couldn't understand it. "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the son of Joseph and Mary? Do we not know his family?" The word here declares, he's not the son of Joseph. He's a son of God. He is the glorious God-man. He shall be great. The greatness of his Godhead shall be seen. The greatness of his Father would be seen in him. We have, don't we, that beautiful discourse of the Lord Jesus with his disciples, as John records in his Gospel chapter 14. And he says, in response, Thomas says, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Verse 5. And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. He shall be great. He shall be great." How many in our day think they know the Lord Jesus? Have they seen the Father? Have they known the Father? Oh, they take the name of the Lord Jesus and speak at times so lightly of him. And you wonder, don't you? Have they known the Father? Do they know him as the Son of the Highest? It's more than just a title, friends. It's more than just a nice thing that we might write inside a Christmas card. It is a declaration, a statement of truth. The Son of the Highest. And due reverence should be given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might have right views. He shall be great. Is he? He is, but is he to you? Is he to me? He shall be great. You say, he wasn't great. I didn't have right thoughts once. He wasn't great in my estimation. I didn't greatly value, greatly esteem him. I had no love, no real desires. But I wonder if there's a few here this morning and you know that is not now the case. And why is it? Well, I can give you one reason. Because you've known something of yourself. And you feel to be a great sinner. He shall be great. God, man. His Father in heaven. His Mother here on earth. God and man. The glorious person of Jesus Christ. How many couldn't see it? How many were hindered? How many stumbled? How many, for them, he was a rock of offense. He was a stumbling stone. They couldn't get over the what they saw with their eye. And why was that? They lacked faith. Friends, isn't that what we need? If you and I are to truly receive, truly see, truly believe, it's that faith, God-given faith that we need. Oh, that we might know something of that faith which views him rightly as God and man. You know, we have such a blessing in the person of Jesus Christ, that he is God and man in one glorious person. It is our encouragement, it is our comfort, it is our only hope. When you and I are so fallen in sin, we're such sinners, great sinners, how could we ever consider an approach unto a great and almighty God? Well, it can only be through this great high priest. It is only through this glorious person, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is sacred humanity. What a precious thing. What a gift to mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You think of the gifts you're to give and receive this Christmas. There's no greater gift than this, is there? That God gave his only begotten Son. What a precious thing. He gave him. He came down from heaven to earth. The eternal Son of God. The condescension. The humbling of himself. The making of himself of no reputation. The greatest stoop ever made was when the eternal Son of God took into union with his divine nature that holy human body and soul. And the word we read this morning, And this is the word of God. Therefore, also that holy thing, that holy thing which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Oh, may you, if you remember nothing else this morning, may you leave this place and hear this, that that holy thing born at Bethlehem is truly the Son of God. The Son of God. He shall be great. For this great gift that was given, it shines. It shines. He shines. Even in the dark day we live, in 2023, he shines from the pages of the Holy Word of God. He shines through the gospel of the grace of God. This, he shall be great, speaks of what he would do. Having been made a real man, he shall be great, even though he took this great stoop of humility. In being made a real man, he shall be great. He had a great work to do. And a great work, it demands by its very nature that the one that does it must be great. And there's no greater one. There's no greater work. You know, we think of the work of creation. Friends, the work of salvation outshines even the glories of creation. Oh, it's a perfect work, the work of salvation. It is the very answer to all the sin. And it's perfect. It's perfect because it perfectly suits the ones that benefit from that great work. And it is perfect because it is complete. It's a finished work. It is a completed work. That great work done by this great one. He shall be great. And what have you, what have you, the shepherds, had? And what have you, those wise men, had? And I wonder, as you think particularly at this time of year, I wonder how many here this morning will also, maybe you have had. I wouldn't reserve it to a few weeks of a year, but oh, I wonder if you, by faith, have done what the shepherds did, go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. He shall be great. To look into that manger by faith, he shall be great. Oh, to see the salvation of the church of God complete while looking on that dear babe at Bethlehem, he shall be great. Faith viewing the work finished, rejoicing in the coming of the Saviour. Oh, that set time to favour. The time had come. That which had been prophesied, that which had been spoken of, now the time had come. He
he shall be great.
Oh, that great person who stands between. Oh, that great work. You know, you think of that great person, and there are many, many offices of our Lord Jesus Christ. But one particular on my mind this morning is that office he has as a great high priest. And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, he speaks of this, doesn't he? I'm thinking of Hebrews, the priesthood of Christ is spoken of in chapter 4, we read in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest. You know, there were high priests, only one great high priest. The high priest in his office is a shadowy pointing to who? The Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. But Paul says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. He shall be great. How can great sinners who have greatly sinned ever do anything acceptable, ever offer anything acceptable, ever worship, ever have their worship accepted by a holy God who they have greatly sinned against? How can they ever have their poor prayers heard and answered? How can they ever receive anything from God when they have sinned and come short in so many ways? How can their poor attempts of worship, which are mixed with sin, how can they ever be made right, ever be received, when that they are offered by such great sinners? Well, it is only through this person, this great high priest. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Oh, what can hinder then? If you have an high priest, a great one, who now passed into the heavens, sitting at the Father's right hand, making intercession for you, you prove him there when you pray to him, when you pray in his name, when you ask for things in the name of Jesus, when you receive the mercy and the grace through him. Friends, what a witness to your soul that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. When there are those tokens made known to you that he has obtained it. Oh, then let us hold fast our profession. How can a sinner, yes, born again, yes, quickened, made alive in the things of God, yes, brought out of darkness into the marvellous light, yes, given a new heart, but How, still in a body of sin, can they walk out of profession? And how can they walk it to the end? And how will they not make a ruin of it all? It is through him and him alone, this great high priest. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin he shall be great. You know, the greatness in his person. Oh, that he was made willing to not only condescend to become and be made a real man, to take into union with his divine nature that holy human body and soul. For what purpose? That he might know by experience what it was to be tempted. And this is the crucial thing. By experience. You have one who by experience knows what it is to be tempted. And this was not possible except he come right down, be made like unto his brethren, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Well, then he endured temptation. Yes, he resisted, but he endured it. He suffered it. He permitted it, that he was tempted. And he was tempted in all points, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But remember that. Remember that when the devil says you can't come with that prayer, Lord help me. When you feel overrun with a particular temptation and he says you can't mention that. You can't bring that. You can't come like this. Friends, in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, because we need it, don't we? And we need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need a continual supply of it day by day. Find grace to help in time of need. He shall be great. Oh, great. Great in that love wherewith he loved us. And that is a beautiful thing when we consider his person. A person of love. A person of mercy. A person of kindness, a person of compassion. And he was great, he shall be great, as he lived his life. What was seen? Great compassion he showed. He had compassion on the multitude. He didn't send them away without first breaking those loaves and fishes, distributing to them. He had compassion upon those that were out of the way, those that were despised and looked down on. He had compassion. He sat and ate with sinners when the Pharisees and the scribes wouldn't. He received sinners unto himself when no one would, in the office that he held. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Well, that great love, in that love that he showed, in the compassion, his understanding, his sympathizing heart. Oh, friends, how he was touched, wasn't he? He was touched bodily. And some received that healing. That one who came through, pressing through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment. That's the greatness of the power of his healing virtue. It flowed even through the hem of his garment as that woman came in the crowd and touched. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she was, immediately. Oh, he shall be great. And then you think, we're now speaking of his work. But you know, it's the person as well as the work. Oh, hast thou not known me, Philip? You've known something, a little of the person, a little of the work. Oh, is that not your desire? We would see Jesus. We would know him. Oh, we would by experience have those times where we're communing with him, speaking with him in prayer, hearing his voice through the reading and the preaching. As we search the pages of Scripture, as he speaks to us through our circumstances, maybe you will hear. Maybe he will say. Maybe there will be those whispers in your heart. He shall be great. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. Oh, and he was, wasn't he? In the work that he did. Oh, how he magnified his office. Oh, how he magnified the law. How in the keeping of it he made it honourable. All the demands of the law, he kept them in thought, word and deed. He made the law honourable. The only one to ever keep it in all its fullness. He shall be great. He had no need in and of himself to keep it. The benefit was all for his people. It was on their behalf that he did these things. It was for them that they might have a righteousness which was not their own, but would be theirs as he gives it. Theirs by imputation. Put on. Theirs taken off from them and cast away as a filthy rag. And his righteousness to clothe them. He shall be great. This glorious great person doing that great work. That was, that the Church of God stood in great need of. And the simple thing this morning for you and I is, are you in need of it? Do you feel a need of it? Oh, do you have a need of him? When you look at your life, do you see the failings? Do you see the sins? You see, great sinners need a great salvation. Great sinners need a great Saviour. And surely, we're all great sinners here this morning, aren't we? Do we know it? Oh, if we're measured against the Word of God, it's plain to see. But do we see it? Do we see it? You know, I often think of that hymn, sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. You know, friends, if you and I are to see any beauty in him, then surely it is when we've once seen some vileness in our own selves. If you are to see the greatness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ in his person and work, or something of the greatness of our own sin, the greatness of our own failings must be known. You know, may the Lord be pleased to show us, to reveal his Son in us. He did with the Apostle Paul. Please the Lord to reveal his Son in me. He revealed to him that it was he, this Jesus of Nazareth, that Paul had no regard for in his lost, fallen condition. He was in a dreadful place. He was in the place of feeling he was absolutely right, utterly convinced that he was right before God, and yet he was far off. He was in that worst of all places. He thought he was right and was satisfied until the Lord met with him. Friends, then he saw, and he shall be great. Oh, I wonder if there's a few this morning, and he's not that great with you. Oh, a wonderful thing, if this is a prophecy for you this morning, he shall be. He shall be. Before time comes to an end, before time is no more, before time runs out, he shall be great. Oh, if your name and mine is in that Lamb's Book of Life, he shall be. He shall be. Oh, may the Lord hasten that time for us each when we see some greatness and some glory. Not in ourselves. We see the great contrast that there is between us and him. We see the great gulf. We see us as sinners on earth, a great God in heaven. Like Jacob, we see that ladder stretching from earth to heaven, bridging that great gap. And the blessings of God descending, coming down from heaven to earth through that great mediator, through that great and glorious high priest, that great days man, the one that stands between the two. And we see and know by experience what it is when our worship is drawn out and it rises and it's made acceptable. Our prayers are taken and made right before a holy God through this great high priest. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School in the vestry at 2:30 this afternoon, in the youngest class at Bethany. And he's kindly agreed to preach for us again on Friday evening, as Mr. Robert Field is very unwell. That service will be in the chapel vestry. And after the service on Friday evening, we hope to give a brief update on the chapel works and the prospect for moving back into the chapel for those who wish to stay and hear it. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning here. And Mr. Graham Hadley has agreed to preach in the evening here. And Sunday school will be at 2:30 at Bethany. Our closing hymn is number 140. When overwhelmed with grief, my heart within me dies, helpless and far from all relief, to heaven I lift my eyes. Hymn 140.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.